from San Diego.
I'm Paige. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Paige.
Happy birthday over there. Congratulations. And welcome to all the new people. So my sobriety date is June 19th, 2014. I have a sponsor. I have a couple service commitments. I come to these meetings because I'm an alcoholic, and when I drink, I can't stop drinking. And I didn't really have a progression in the beginning. It was like my brother came into my room when I was 14 and brought this bottle of Captain Morgan spiced rum, and you know, I didn't like the taste of it, but I liked the way it made me feel. So I took like six more shots after that first one. And I don't really remember much of that night, but I did wake up feeling pretty crappy, and I was covered in puke. I like to puke on myself a lot when I was drinking. It wasn't really fun. And I would always be like, no, it's not vomit. I don't know what it is, but that's just not what it is. Really delusional. So, my drinking continued for about 10 years. My parents would throw me in rehab every couple years because they didn't really know what to do with me. And, you know, I thought I wanted to be sober, but after having this length of sobriety now and, like, looking back, I just didn't want to have to deal with the consequences of my drinking. I'm a convicted felon today. As a result of my drinking, I like to assault people, and I'm convicted of an aggravated assault charge that happened when I was 17 years old, and, you know, I went to sentencing after being up all night drinking. I was scared, and that's how I coped with everything. I drank, and I did end up doing some time in jail, and I couldn't hold a job. And, you know, my life was really unmanageable, but I didn't understand the powerlessness of this disease. And I think when stating that you're alcoholic, it's really important to, like, grasp that. Because I went to a lot of meetings over the past 10 years, and I didn't really understand the powerlessness of it. So, I drink, and I can't stop drinking. And when I drink, I develop this allergy and the phenomenon of craving, and it just completely overtakes everything else in my life. And it was very painful for me. So I moved out to San Diego about 2 years ago I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. It's really hot out there today. And I didn't have any intention of getting sober. I just thought that, you know, if I got out of Phoenix, things would be okay, and I'd go to school and, like, live a normal life that, you know, 20-year-olds do. And, well, I'm 24 now, and that wasn't really the case. And so I drank even more when I moved out here. And I related to people through drinking, and I couldn't talk to somebody without having a drink in my hand. And it got very, very, very painful for me near the end. I couldn't stop, and I wanted to. I had these ideas of, like, going back to rehab and moving back to Phoenix because, you know, San Diego's the problem this time. And, you know, somebody kept telling me, like, Paige, you need to go to AA, and then I went back this time, and I think I cried through the whole meeting, and after a couple days, I heard somebody share my story, and I asked that woman to be my sponsor. She, I love that girl. She took me through the steps. She was the one person I actually felt like I was capable of being honest with, and I could see something in her that made me feel like I was actually understood for the first time in my life. Because, you know, rehab, they tell you to, like, do all these things, and it's like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, there's something inside of me that's missing, and this girl got it. So she had me do a bunch of things I didn't want to do, and a lot of those included doing the 12 steps, doing a 4-step, doing a 5th step, making some amends to people that I didn't want to ever talk to again because I was so ashamed of the behavior that I was involved in. And I cried a lot that first year, and I was angry, and I was hoping that everybody else was the problem, and then I was really, like, had this idea of my head that once I got that 1 year, that, like, everything was going to be fine. Like, I was going to get a cap and gown, like, things were going to be good, I wasn't going to need to do this AA thing anymore, and you know, I thought I was going to graduate, and I realized that there is no graduating from this thing. Life continues to happen for me. I still have my ups and downs, and today I'm more grateful for AA than anything else in my life. So when I came into the rooms, I was hopeless, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was desperate for anything else other than the life that I was living. I wanted something to fix me and fill me up with hope, and I didn't want to hurt people anymore, and I wanted to live somewhat of a normal life, and I was able to find that through AA. And, you know, the nice thing is I have a huge support system around me today of people that I can call and will help me through things. My family likes me for the most part. I don't like all of them right now, but I live with somebody who's an Al-Anon, and it's a really rough living situation. love her to death, but by going through AA, I was able to get hope again. I get to go to work every day. I get to pay my bills, which was something that I just was. Everything went to collections. I got sober and I had like $4,000 in debt, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's just going to go away at some point. But part of my amends was actually paying those things off and paying people back for the harm that I caused. And when I didn't get any freedom from this program until I started making my amends. When I started making my amends, that's when I was actually able to sleep at night. That's when I realized that AA might actually work for me. I didn't want to do them, but it gave me a sense of purpose in my life that, like, okay, you can recover from the disease of alcoholism. It doesn't have to be completely hopeless, as long as I don't drink today. And, you know, there's been several times in my sobriety where I thought that drinking was a good idea, and I pondered it, and came to the kind of realization that I just didn't want to feel the way I was feeling. And most days I don't want to feel the way that I'm feeling, but the days are easier when I don't pick up a drink, when I go to meetings, when I call my sponsor, when I call other women in the program, when I hang out with people. Do everything that I just normally, like, I wake up in the morning, I don't want to do. I want to lay in bed and watch Netflix all day. I don't want to go to work. And I want to blame everybody else for my problems, because that's what I do. I'm an alcoholic, and I am still very sick. I don't feel like I have a ton of time sober. I have a little over a year now, and I've kind of just come to the conclusion that I've just barely grasped what AA means and what it means to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I wouldn't want to go back there. AA has given me hope, and if you're new and you want something better than the life you are living, this is where I went, and this is where I found a life better, absolutely a million times better than the one that I was living. There's nowhere else in the world that I would rather be on 4th of July, except here at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, sweating because I'm nervous. And thank you again for having me speak. And I'll pass.